You're listening to the 50th episode of Culture Matters, a podcast of the Village Church. This is Adam Griffin. I'm here with Adam Hawkins, Josh Patterson, and Matt Chandler. And on today's episode, we're celebrating episode 50. We're going to be celebrating by discussing why we do a podcast on culture and kind of what are our favorite moments from the past, what we're looking forward to in the future, and a little bit about the transition from Matt and Josh to the Adams. So looking forward to it. Let's get to our episode, Culture Matters, episode 50. All right, Matt and Josh, I'm so glad you guys are here with us today. I would love to start by just talking about maybe the idea of why we started this podcast in the first place. You guys were here from day one, from episode one, and you guys got to cast vision for why the Village Church thinks it's important to do a podcast on culture. I'd love to hear from you guys a little bit, and I'm sure so would people maybe that are just joining this podcast, maybe they didn't start with this from episode one, about why a church should enter into these waters to talk about culture and then on a regular basis put these things out.
Well, the people of God aren't isolated from culture at large. We're actually very much embedded in the culture. And so to not do exegesis on the culture in which we live, and then to strengthen, empower, and give lenses by which to see that culture to our people at the Village, and then from there outside the walls of the Village, we thought was doing a disservice to them in regards to setting them up to win and to live biblically and faithfully in 2016 and 2017 and 2018, and the things that are kind of bearing weight on them as they live, not working in a church office, but working in an office that more than likely they're surrounded by unbelievers and by different worldviews. And so we're doing it from the stage on the weekends as best we can. But then there are these pieces where we wanted to take a little bit of a deeper dive and maybe be a little bit more practical. And we thought this was a great venue by which to do that.
And it provides just a different medium for a different type of conversation, where a sermon, you've got 40, 45, 50 minutes on a particular weekend. You've got 52 weeks a year to do that. And which, praise God for that, and we do have the opportunity to preach the Word of God. The podcast gives just a different medium to have a little bit more of an extended, nuanced conversation where more voices are included, and it's not the final word on the conversation, but it keeps the conversation going, and it allows us to touch on matters that maybe we just don't have the opportunity to do from the pulpit.
Or even, and I think one of my favorite aspects of it is to try to get some clarity. Like, there have been a couple of shows that we've had where I certainly didn't land where the guests landed.
For sure.
But it gave me an opportunity to try to, like, as a brother in Christ, try to get to the bottom. Okay, I trust you. I love you. I want to understand this. Help me understand this. So there have been these moments on this where we could bring in someone who sees it differently than we do, and try to dialogue in a way that honors Christ and creates clarity.
Well, and I think that provides an example, and not that we're doing this to be exemplars, but to demonstrate charity in the conversation, to hear differing views, divergent understandings, perspectives, and to do so in a way that's filled with grace and love. And I think that's important, and hopefully that's been a mainstay of the show.
Yeah.
Have you found, like, while you guys are talking to these various guests, people who have written books or just hold different positions or just even friends of the show, have you found yourselves challenged by some of the things they brought here, knowing, like, these are different perspectives? Have you been surprised coming in here going, hey, we're going to talk about culture, I think it's going this way, or I think I already know where I land here, but there's kind of a press in another way because it's so conversational?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just, again, being engaged myself, so not just being an interviewer, but being a part of a conversation and thinking, why do I land the way that I land here?
Yeah.
And being challenged to think in different ways. Certainly the political season of 2016 was challenging on so many fronts. And I'm not sure that we had a ton of clarity. I'm not sure that anybody had a ton of clarity walking through that. It was a complex season. And my takeaway was how do I navigate in the complexity and appreciate the complexity of those particular seasons? And a lot of the topics that we've had discussed on this show, they're just not simple topics. And for me, appreciating the nuance, the complexity, the difficulty, and learning how to navigate that space with charity.
That's good.
Has been important for me.
I can say, as a listener, before I came on the show to be, I don't know, one of the voices of the show, I've really appreciated the fact that you guys would sit down and engage these conversations, because the reality is, as Matt alluded to and Josh, the reality is our people are having this conversation.
Yeah. Yep.
Somebody's going to have this conversation. Somebody will exegete the culture for them, or they themselves will be trying to figure out what all of this means, right? As Matt said, we are in the culture. We're embedded in the culture. And
and the culture's discipling us.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And so if you're not going, whoa, like I know that culture is saying this is normative.
That's right.
The Word of God says this is not normative.
That's right.
That this is normative.
That's right.
And we're to pursue kind of what God has designed for us as the people of God, rather than, because I think there's a passivity in most Christians towards culture. They don't tend to recognize it as being the shaping force that it is, other than maybe some kind of major moment, and then the Christian has no idea how we got there.
Yeah.
Like what just happened, and then they're surprised where you've got these voices out there going, no, this is where this is going.
Right.
Look up.
If you don't start to really dial into this. So I think about the stuff that we did around technology, not with Andy, but the one before that. And you got this idea like the passivity of parents, mm-hmm. and the passivity of people around devices and around screen time and around the idea that is not a shaping force, or certainly people don't think it's the shaping force that it actually is. To be able to kind of dive into that, go, guys, you got to look up. You got to see where this is leading us.
That's good.
Where you're seeing reading comprehension vanish. You're seeing that these are serious issues for what humanity is going to look like, 40 years from now.
Yeah. So one thing you brought up about how this is a different medium, Josh, and how this is a different way for us to talk about some of these topics, maybe different than what we're able to do from the pulpit on Sunday. I would love to hear from you guys. When you preach, Matt, you have kind of this immediate feedback from people in front of you that you can kind of see how they're reacting. Afterwards, you might get feedback from other people. What has been feedback from you guys as you guys have engaged culture on this? Obviously, it happens separate from this. You're not getting this immediate feedback, but from our people or from other listeners, have you heard from our people like, this is what was helpful when you guys talked about this, addressed this, or thank you for asking that question?
So the median itself really plays into a cultural, what I'd call a cultural norm here, which is, there's some really positive things really quickly, and then there's some really negative things really quickly. I mean, it's one of those things you post a podcast, and then there have been a couple of times where the feedback, it's just clear that the person hasn't listened to the podcast before they attacked or before they decided what we were trying to do or trying to accomplish. And then there have been a couple of moments where people are saying, hey, that insight really shifted and changed mm-hmm. how I approach this and how I approach that. And so I think in a day of instantaneous feedback where there's been very little thought put into what you actually listen to, what that actually means for your life, I think by and large the feedback's been really positive.
Yeah, I affirm that. There's definitely been feedback that's been negative, and as I think about certain episodes, and maybe we'll get into that, the feedback was polarizing. It was challenging. But by and large, the podcast has been helpful. That's the feedback that I've received, that it's been insightful, that people have appreciated the approach of the podcast, the conversation, and those aspects or those fruits of charity and grace and love have been evident there. And I think people have seen that and appreciated that, and the opportunity to highlight other voices and to raise up and point out, hey, this is somebody that you should think about. This is somebody that you should read. This is somebody that you should consider investing your time in hearing what they have to say has been helpful, right? And I'm grateful for it. I think it's been a really positive thing. It's crazy. It's 50 episodes in.
Right. I've been surprised even in the short time that I've been doing it, how frequently somebody from our church will come up and mention something the podcast show to me that'll say, whether it was somebody that loves the NBA and they heard the Ernie Johnson episode.
And I love that episode.
And want to talk about, how the Village Church really encouraged their heart because they love basketball. And we talked to a basketball man about sports and Christianity, or particularly the Andy Crouch episode. A lot of parents came up to me and talked to me about how helpful it was to just think through these technology issues, maybe not arrive on the same places. Like you guys were saying, we don't bring on guests to say, this represents the perfect viewpoint. We are just going to teach you guys from this, but rather foster that discussion. I've been really encouraged by that. Adam, have you already heard feedback from your people there in Plano, from around the village?
I've heard great feedback. And honestly, just echoing everything you guys have said, but one of the things that's just encouraged me about it is there is this sense in which engaging with these voices, not in a way to say, hey, they're the experts, so defer to their authority, but hey,
consider.
And what it's done is it's helped our people, honestly, it's helped our people be able to engage with opinions that are different from theirs. And actually, it's helped us, it's helped me learn how to think through issues and dialogue with people that we're not always going to agree with, right? Or maybe consider things that they haven't thought of. And so it's humbling, really. And I've heard that from our people, especially around the technology with kids. That's one thing that has just come up over and over again. We've done a couple episodes now, and that's just been, you know, a source of constant feedback. I hear about it all the time.
That's great. Yeah. In a second, I'd love for us to start talking about a little bit of what you guys have loved in particular, maybe particular episodes you love. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about this transition. So Josh and Matt kicked this off 50 episodes ago, which how long ago was that? How long have we been doing this?
50 episodes.
So 50 episodes.
Right. Today, I believe 50 episodes.
I usually
today.
Measure my age in episodes of the Village Podcast. How old are you? Well, I've gotten 20 episodes older this
year.
We're
a couple years in.
Yeah, that's awesome. A couple years in.
It feels like more than that in some ways.
Right.
And then like yesterday in some ways.
Feels like you've
– Selah.
Does that mean it's been really hard or really good?
You'll find out.
Yeah.
I guess we'll talk about it in a minute.
The answer is yes.
But we are transitioning, and there are some episodes – absolutely, we were just talking about an episode coming up that Matt will be sitting in on, and there'll be times where you guys will still play a part in what we're doing on the podcast. But in the immediate future, there's some transition where Adam Hawkins and I, Adam Griffin, will be leading this on a regular basis and inviting you guys in and out. And I'm wondering, man, how is that transition for you guys? What are you looking forward to in that transition, both in what you're going to be freed up to do outside of this, and then what you think maybe Adam Hawkins, who's incredibly gifted and intelligent, will be able to do with the podcast going forward?
Yeah. You want me to start us, Josh? Or
I need to think of some reasons. Okay. So yeah, well, some time.
Didn't David give you bullet points?
He gave us bullet points. Yeah, I got
why
what
these
I'm looking
guys.
For.
Okay, yeah.
Man, just read the script,
so
guys.
Much, guys. Yeah. Thank
it's
you.
Super
so
affirming.
Where is that script?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I love the podcast. I think that as the podcast got going and got moving, I found my heart drawn more and more and more to the preaching of the word and some things that I've got here that require a little bit more of my attention mm-hmm. in this season. Some transitions we're working on, some things that are front of mind and front of heart for me. And I found the more the podcast show, you know, kept going, the more I needed to work on that so I could come in and not just wing it, but mm-hmm. have a legit conversation and interact with the with either the guest or the book or the thought. And so I was eager to, okay, do I just let Josh run with this? How do I free up that time that I want? And then, you know, my experience with you two, and I think I've told you both this, so we'll just do the same thing, I guess, recording at this time. You both have, should I go just one at a time or? We'll use you as a unit, the Adams.
Let's talk about the Adams.
Let's talk about the Adams.
That's how we refer to ourselves. So.
Well, I actually don't let my wife talk to me without also addressing Adam Hawkins. Yeah, that's kind of
that's our next episode.
Why the Adams are no longer
that's
on.
That's right.
Episode 51.
So Adam Griffin, I'm known you for, gosh, over a decade, I think.
Yeah, a long time.
And you think you were the youth pastor at a small Episcopal church?
Lutheran
church.
Close enough.
Okay, yeah, same. Kind of.
Christian.
Yeah. Yeah. Christian. Here in town and always saw you out and about and then have just grown in such respect for how you see the world, how you see justice, how you see the gospel colliding with the world. I think when I think about raising children, educating children, protecting families, building healthy families, you're the first person that pops into my mind, mm-hmm. even as I've navigated a teenage daughter now and a 11-year-old son and a soon-to-be 8-year-old little girl. I think about the conversations you've brought to the elder room. I think about the things that you've built for our church. So when people go on our website and they see that family discipleship curriculum that we built out for them, the time, moments, and milestones, I mean, that's just got your fingerprints all over it, brother. Mm-hmm. And you think well about the family. You think well about marriage. You understand the church's role to be salt and light and to be in the world but not of it. And so I just think you have real keen insight into how culture and the church kind of collide and intersect. And
thanks,
so
Matt.
really eager to see you just kind of take this and run. You are smarter than me on those things, and I glean from you around that. And so I'm eager for that. And then Adam Hawkins, who even on 2 hours sleep, which is what he's on right now, because of a baby that's invaded his home and very selfishly is not letting him or his bride get much sleep.
That's true.
And so, Adam's background, I mean, I think he lived in New York for a while and has a law degree and has a face for podcasts. I get to watch, same as this Adam, I just get to watch you operate in ways that I just know, man. He sees things in ways that I can't see them because of his experience, because of his background, because of his education. If I think about kind of my background, I've been immersed in the Christian world since right before my 18th birthday, and so that's my education, that's my jobs, that's my and so I found you coming from a different perspective. You see the world just slightly different in a very good way and help create some clarity and maybe some blind spots in my own life. And so I think you're bringing that to this show in a way of going, no, wait a minute, guys, let's think about it this way. Or, well, what about this that I think are going to help listeners see things with greater clarity and more importantly, I think greater charity. So
I'm going to echo that and say it just in a slightly different way that both of you have really keen cultural insights. And so this is a podcast on culture. So culture matters.
That's right.
And both of you are exegetes of the culture. And so there's a really clear fit for that. You have a great chemistry between one another. There's just a really good dynamic. And so my working with you, just for listeners, I get to work with these guys pretty regularly, weekly for sure, a lot of times more than once a week. And so in our times together, we spend hours upon hours hashing through what it looks like to lead and be faithful here at this church. And so I've got a strong affection for both of y'all and an admiration for both of you as well. So you've got the culture piece, you've got the chemistry piece, and then there you've got the piece that both of y'all are elders here at the church. And so you're speaking with an authoritative voice so much as it relates to the people of the Village Church. And that's not to say that you are the authority on these things, but there's your spiritual leaders, your men who are faithful, who love the Lord and love his word, and you love your families. And so you're men that I would look to others to say, follow, be like these guys, be like them. And just as part of this show is introducing our listeners to new guests, potentially, like, hey, you may want to check out Andy Crouch. If you didn't know him before, then I encourage you to kind of start following some of what he's saying. I would say the same thing about y'all, that this is an opportunity on this podcast for Matt and me, if this is what it has been, is to elevate your voices and to kind of widen the scope of leadership here at the Village and say, hey, beyond Matt, beyond Josh, beyond, there are other voices and other leaders here in our context that we think that people need to give credence to and listen to. And so just know that, like I said, the last couple of episodes I thought have been just stellar.
Yeah, I thought I might have ruined one of those if I'd have been on it.
Well,
it's possible.
It's possible.
There's no
way. It would have been great.
Like the Vassar one.
The Vassar episode. Are we doing this now? So let me just say this. Be affirmed.
Yeah.
Just be affirmed in that.
Thank you. Yeah, I do want to talk about your favorite episodes or whatever happened to the Vassar episode or whatever you guys want to talk about
it's here in a second.
I think the only one that had to be edited, though, like heavily edited.
It's a two-minute podcast episode.
Besides the intro of this one.
That's true. Which one of the seven?
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for the affirmation and for the subtle jab there at the end, too. I want to say, though,
both are necessary.
They are. To stay completely honest. Matt and Josh, when you mention things like chemistry, like competency, like being able to exegete culture, that's why I appreciate you guys both on and off this podcast show. What you guys are able to do together for the kingdom of God through the Village Church and the city of Dallas and even much broader than that and through the podcast show, I have personally benefited from on many occasions. So thank you for all the time you guys put into it. I love that you guys will be able to free up some time to think about other things and still come back and be a part of this. But I cannot tell you how much I appreciate what you guys have done through the podcast show and for our people as well. I hear it from our people, not just when I'm on here, but about you guys and what it has brought to their home. So thank you.
Well, praise God.
Let's look back. Let's look back and tell me. Be honest. What was your favorite guest? Maybe what was the low light? What was the thing that never made the air that had to be cut? But what was the moment in here, in this room where you guys record, or in the old one? We used to record out on the stage in the Village Church. But what was that episode where you go, that one? That one made a big difference, or that one was just hilarious? I couldn't even get through
it. The one that like we just couldn't pull ourselves together on is J.R. Vassar has been a good friend of our both of ours for a long time. In fact, I met J.R. Vassar when I was a college student, so I'm 42. And J.R. Vassar isn't – J.R. isn't J.R.'s name. So J.R.'s name is Charlie Lee.
Charlie makes total Lee sense.
Vassar.
Charlie Lee Vassar. And his Aunt Bert
yes.
is the one that gave him the name J.R. So that's been like a background joke for a decade. And so we're getting ready to do the show. We know what we want to talk about. We're all and then the podcast show starts, and the second it starts, Josh says,
What does JR stand for?
Oh, Josh.
Come on. We're just wondering.
Do you want me to answer that? I'm just curious.
Okay.
JR Vassar.
It stands for just right, Josh. No, my official name is Charlie Lee Vassar Jr. Charlie Lee Vassar Jr. So I go by JR. Yeah. I went by Scooter up until the second grade. And then I felt in the second grade I'm a little too big for a scooter. So my Aunt Bert used to call me JR. If you're going to take name advice from someone, take it from a woman named Bert. So I changed my name to JR in the second grade. I've gone by that ever
you
since.
You changed it.
Yeah.
Yes,
you
yes.
did it like legally?
No, not legally. No. Okay. I mean, yeah.
So you're Charlie Lee?
Charlie Lee. Yeah.
Charlie Lee. Doing business as JR.
Yes. Yes. I got a DBA in the second grade doing business as JR Vassar.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Scooter.
We're glad
Scooter
you're here.
Scooter Vassar.
Yeah.
Charlie Lee.
Chuck,
I could say more about that, but I'm not going to.
18 years. How did I just find this out like a year ago?
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that was great. I feel like we could talk about this for most of the show.
I feel like my work's done here.
I don't know that it's going to be helpful.
Some of the wounds, some of the
hurts,
some of the baggage from.
Oh my gosh!
Pull it together.
Okay. Let's talk about life at the Village. I knew this would happen with Vassar. You might as well pause for a second.
I can't.
That's the first time in this show we've had that. So there's this whole bit on there.
We just couldn't hold it together.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. I think you can still listen to the episode. We decided just to leave it and let the chaos be. And it's on there. I'm not sure the content was great, but that was a fun moment. I mean, we laughed a lot and enjoyed that.
That's
one.
A rare thing for me to not be able to pull myself together, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
I was hurting.
Yep, I agree.
Did JR enjoy it, or do you feel like he left?
Yeah, his name was on it, yeah. That's a low blow. Glory Hunger.
Glory Hunger. That's his book. Check it out.
It's a great book.
What else, man? What sticks out? What was a guest that you guys had on that you feel like you really personally benefited from, the insight that that person brought?
Well, on a much different note, and really a starkly different note, the episode that sticks out to me was one where we had Summer Vinson Berger and Taryn Mays talking about domestic abuse.
Just a couple episodes ago.
Yeah. It was heavy, and it needed to be. It was pointed, and their insights were just really helpful. And so to engage that particular topic, I thought it was just a really good episode and their expertise and it was hard, man. It was a heavy episode, but I thought the way it came together, the insights that they had and the feedback, you'd just be astounded to know the women that came forward and affirmed that particular episode just in gratitude. And then I even had some feedback from some men, some positive and some negative. And so And all of it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Because I felt like we were pushing back what was dark in that episode. So that one sticks out to me.
Yeah.
That's more on the heavier pastoral side. And man, it really does run the gamut. You've got the ones that were light and fun.
Right.
You know, we had the Dude Perfect guys on.
And, that was a great episode.
All of our kids were waiting outside the doors to meet these
to
guys.
Flip bottles.
Yeah, to flip bottles, which they have not stopped doing.
Nope.
really?
Every single day. We're flipping bottles.
Yep.
At the dinner table, we're flipping bottles.
Yeah. That's great.
So, yeah.
You don't let your kids flip bottles at the table, Josh.
That's true.
Yeah, I know you.
It was hyperbole.
That's not it. Yeah, that ain't happening. You know, one of the ones that we probably got the most critique on that I was looking forward to entering into the conversation is Thabiti Anabwile.
I don't remember that one.
Do you not?
So that is one of my favorite episodes.
So I've been friends with Thabiti for a long time and I have such high respect and regard for him, for how he pastors his people, for his preaching. I love that man. And yet I couldn't have been in a different place than he was theologically. And so politically. And so when that happened in my head, I'm like, I need to understand how this man who I respect, I have super high regard for him. I'd work for him. I'd follow. I mean, I love Thabiti. This man that I love and have so much respect, how we can see this thing so differently.
Yeah.
And so we had him on the podcast because we wanted to get to the bottom of it. And he you know, kind of pushed and I pulled. And we certainly didn't land in the same spot when it was over. But that one sticks out to me. One, because of the backlash we got for it, as though you weren't allowed to have that conversation.
Right.
And secondly, it just stood out because I'm glad we did it. I'm glad because I needed to know for my own good, like, how does this happen? Like, we love each other. We both see the Bible and like, we'd be very much in the same, well, I guess, stream or tribe or whatever you want to call it. And yet on this issue, we couldn't be farther away from one another.
Yeah.
And so, well, maybe that's overstated because, that's overstated.
He just landed in such a spot that was so different.
Yeah.
And honestly, it took me by surprise. So I kind of followed the logic to a degree. And then that was an episode that haunted me on the back end because I thought, man, I wish I had more time to say this and this and this and this. And I didn't. We just didn't have that time. And some of the feedback and sharing that with different people, their affirmation or their feedback or critique back was this, just, hey, what we saw in that episode was less about content and more about how to have the conversation. And so thank you for that.
Yeah, praise
God.
And
so,
man,
people flared about the content. And it was super – it was really challenging and honestly discouraging. But – for sure, that episode stands out as a pretty significant one.
That to me, just to throw my two cents in, is why I love the podcast show. If we can't have these kind of conversations within the church, then we can't have them anywhere. And so that's what I mean, we're having them outside the church and you're seeing how it's happening. Polarized, hateful even. I mean, I don't think that's an overstatement to say it. And so to watch people who land in different places politically be able to have the conversation and do so charitably was heartening for me in a season that was so disheartening.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was discouraging. I mean, frankly, it was discouraging to see the feedback from a lot of people who, maybe didn't even listen to the show, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I will say, I mean, just to publicly state thank you guys for entering in and engaging and teaching us what it looks like for believers who disagree on secondary issues like politics to be able to have charitable conversations with one another.
And I think that was the takeaway from that.
Yeah.
From that particular episode was more about how to have the conversation than some of the content within it.
Yep.
So,
yeah, real quick, I want to conclude here in just a minute, but maybe you could speak to this because I do think this will be helpful, particularly for maybe pastors or other kind of public figures. We've mentioned several times criticism that you guys endure because of things you say or people you bring on or other people's opinions. Could you speak to that for just a minute? How do you handle it? We're not crushed by that, I imagine. How do you handle it when you get this negative feedback or somebody's blowing you up on Twitter or Facebook about somebody, why'd you have this guy on or what do you think about that? How does the Village Church walk through that kind of criticism?
Well, I think the first thing we want to do is see if there's any legitimate criticism there.
Mm-hmm.
Like our theological framework informs me that I'm not perfect and I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to drop the ball and there are going to be things I should have thought through more than I did. And so I want to look for legitimate criticism and then I want to own it as best I can. And then what I want to do is just be able to filter out the foolishness. You know, the book of Proverbs says, hey, man, let a fool talk, you know, you'll see, okay, this guy's a fool. And so where there's foolish criticism, like on the Thabiti, like it just became so clear on that Thabiti issue that certain people had not even listened to
it.
So they saw
the post.
The post. And then just immediately went in saying things that were not said by anybody on the podcast, that were not affirmed by anybody. And so on that stuff, I've learned online that if you try to kind of enter that and try to bring clarity, it tends to get worse, not better. So, you know, part of the way I've wired my personal life is I'm not on Facebook. And then I'll use Twitter to some degree. But I'm just not going to live on those things. I'm certainly not going to live and die on them.
That's great.
I've got a responsibility to God, got a responsibility to the members of the Village Church, and then a responsibility before God to kind of steward what the influence He's given me. But I'm gonna just look for legit critique and own what I can own.
I love that.
I affirm that.
That's great.
Yeah, thanks for asking me about that, because just as a public figure at the Village Church, yeah, I just say Matt. I give him Matt's email. So
you just hand out Matt's email address.
The external facing one.
Hawkins at the Village Church. That's great. I am. I can speak for Adam and say that we are very grateful for the work you guys have put into this, and for David, who's producing today as well. We're also really excited about what the future might bring, the future guests we'll have on here, the ability that you guys have afforded us to speak into these areas and to trust us with this. I'm humbled by it. So I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm excited about what's coming next for the podcast show, about having you guys swing in from time to time to talk to different guests that we have on and to speak into the direction of the show in general. But for today, thank you guys so much for those first 50 episodes, for all you guys poured out, and for what you guys do for the Village Church and for the church at large. I just cannot thank you enough. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate that.
If there's anything you heard on the show that you'd like to know more about, you can find details on our website at tvcresources.net. On our next episode, we'll have a discussion with pastor and author Mark Sayers around his new book, Strange Days: Life in the Spirit in a Time of Upheaval. We'll see you next time. God bless.